Man's greatest humanity to man is his interest in himself. This is the thought for today from Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Foggy Campo, California, where the cloud is setting right on top of the house. And as I took my walk this morning, it set right on top of me. And I would take one step after the other, and the fog would brush away like in a London fog. It was just beautiful, just beautiful. And this is such a lovely day. This is June, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I was going to say lovely day in May, but lovely day in June. Man's greatest humanity to man is his interest in himself. At the breakfast table this morning, Ellen, who comes up with all these interesting statements, she says, why do some people forget why they're here? Why do some people forget why they have been born and what their purpose is? That is, they're born to remember who they are, their divine being, and to be themselves and have fun. Why do people have that? And we discussed it and came up with this solution that's the way Ellen creates them. If you create anybody in the world not knowing why they're here, not knowing that they're here to have fun and be themselves, then you created them. Then you created them that way. And that, now, we just created the cat from the Citadel, that is the Shangri-La, from the Shangri-La, running across the driveway here. Yes. You're a cat from the Shangri-La. And the boys saw the cat out there and they thought, wow, this I haven't seen for a long time. And they were talking to the cat and the cat just ran across and said, hey, I'm just coming over to get a little extra something to eat up here and be with my buddies. And so that's what the case was. Now, why did the dogs run after the cat trying to go out the side window and so forth? Now you say, well, Herb, what has this got to do with man's greatest humanity to man is his interest in himself? Well, it's this, and I will tell both of the stories. We have a rule here that the dogs are always put into the bathroom during any of these recorded lectures, so they will not bark and run around and distract us from our chosen calling. And they were not put in the bathroom because sometimes they're quiet and sometimes they're not. And I don't get on everybody to put the dogs in the bathroom according to what our rule is, because I figure they will pay the penalty sooner or later, and the penalty will be a very unhappy penalty. For instance, the dogs may die and then you don't have to put them away. The dogs may be sick and they don't feel like chasing the cat, and you don't have to put them away. Or other silly things like that. Now you say, well, that's terrible to put such thoughts in motion. No, it isn't. When we have a rule and we don't maintain the rule, we pay the price. We pay the penalty. Now, you say, well, that's inhuman. No, it isn't. That's very human. We have a rule that I made up sort of serendipitously about the dishes and the silverware, remember? And I said, you carry the dishes in one hand and the silverware in the other hand, or you just carry the dishes, or you just carry the silverware, but you do not put the silverware on top of the dishes where they can fall off. We have all been in restaurants where waitresses who didn't know their business would set the silverware on top of the dishes, and then as they were walking along, swing, they go flying off on top of the customers, and their boss would say to them, this is not what we taught you. That's dangerous. It's bad enough the waitresses are whirling these dishes on these trays above their head, but then the free-flying projectiles, the knife and fork and stuff like that, are not very good. Well, we have a rule here that you do not take the dishes and the cutlery in the same on top of one another, because it makes the cutlery unstable when a fork is underneath it or a knife or something. And so, to add a little luster to it, I said, any person who does this, they won't be reminded ahead of time, because they're reminded already, and takes it to the kitchen, will have to eat with their hands for 2 days. No cutlery. So reminding them to put the cutlery away properly. And so the other day, this happened. I think it happened at noon or something like that. And that evening, we were having guests here, the two local doctors from the Mountain Health Clinic. And so the person who didn't do this had to eat with her hands. And at first, there was a big hubbub about it. We don't want to look that stupid in front of these doctors. Well, hey, you're looking stupid in front of yourself by not following the rules. You're looking stupid in front of yourself by not realizing that you're a bunch of jokers. And you are. You're all a bunch of jokers. You're a bunch of idiots. Because you go around saying that you are master and that you are God and you're the creator of your world. And then you wonder why something in your world is created in a way that you don't think is harmonious. You know? Now, isn't that a stupid thing to do? It is better to say, I am not God, and that other people create these things in my world, and it's not my fault, you know, because that's the way you're acting. What we want to do is recognize that we are God, and take responsibility for being God. And the responsibility for being God is that anything God creates
is good and very good.
Is exactly like what God creates. And as Ellen says, it is good and very good. Now, if you or I see anything in this world which is not what we call good and very good, then we didn't create very well. We didn't create very well in our consciousness. Now, what kind of a God are you? Are you a God who creates dumb stuff? Well, apparently. Because you don't like wars and you create wars in your experience. You don't like rattlesnakes and you create rattlesnakes in your experience. The doctors were here and they said, do you have any rattlesnakes around here? I said, I really don't know. I said, I see a snake path going across the road here and there. Some pretty big ones, you know. And I think to myself, they just had a full meal. But whether they're rattlesnakes or not, that's up to our thinking. We have grass snakes up here, gopher snakes. We have tree snakes. We have snakes of many other varieties that I haven't even chosen to bother to learn the name. And we have rattlesnakes too. And the rattlesnakes are the ones that get all our attention. And we don't pay attention to those lovely gopher snakes who just go around having a good time, you know. They don't bite anybody. And we don't pay attention to the tree snakes. They climb right up the tree and they lay up in the tree and they watch for something to eat, you know. And we don't pay attention to them. They're not looking at us. We're too big. And what are we creating? We were creating rattlesnakes. And rattlesnakes do the same thing, except that they rattle. And they also have poison in their fangs. And what is the poison in their fangs for?
Defense.
I'm sorry?
Defense.
What's the poison in their fang for?
To kill.
No. What's the poison in their fangs? You see, it's defense, it's to kill. What's the poison in their fangs for? It stuns. It puts to sleep. It stuns their prey. And the prey then becomes easy for them to digest and eat and so forth. But it's kind of hard for them to have somebody who's, you know, still active and alive and trying to run away from them. But they put their little hypodermic needle in there. And they put their little sleeping pill in there, and he goes to sleep. Now, it's not a death thing. The poison is not death. It can be if it's put in too large a portion. You go to your doctors, who you believe and you love and you trust, and the doctor gives you a shot. Now, if the doctor gives you a shot of a little bit of morphine or a little bit of penicillin or a little bit of whatever he gives you, it does good. If he gives you a lot, pop, you're dead. It's just like the nightshade plant. Mm-hmm. You take a little bit of that in the proper way, in the proper time, it's medicine. You take a lot, and it's a poison. It kills you. You see, man's greatest humanity to man is his interest in himself. When we become interested in ourselves, we have the greatest humanity we could ever want. And then what happens? Our divinity begins to shine forth. It's up to us. It's up to us. We say we are divine, we say we are wonderful, and yet we allow ourselves to think or see anything that is not wonderful or not divine. When you go anywhere, or you talk to anyone under any circumstances, remember, you're God talking to your creation. You created your mommy. That's an interesting one, isn't it? You created your daddy. You created your grandpa. How about that? Good. You created your great grandpas and your distant relatives. You created all that. You created the family tree that you're under. It's your choice all the way. Now, if there's anything you don't like, you just recreate it. If your father was a bank robber, you create him as being the bank president. Now you say, but you can't do that because that changes history. That's wonderful, isn't it? Paul, if you are God, is there anything you can't do?
No.
Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. That's right from God. If you're God, there's nothing you can't do. And if you want to recreate what you call the past in the present, you do so. You do so. Hmm. Wouldn't it be wonderful to recreate President Clinton as a fabulous moral individual who, because he's a brilliant mind and he did wonderful things as the president, but wouldn't it be wonderful just to sort of clean up his backyard a little bit? Yeah. And how do we do it? We just see him as a fine, beautiful being. And then all of a sudden, the world starts seeing him that way. And all of a sudden, people start saying, that's right, that was a sham. We were doing this as a political thing because the other party wanted to control, and that we destroy the character of the lead person there to get the other party in and stuff like that. That's what they do. That's what they do. Now, they shouldn't. But you see, if you need it logical, and this is stupid too, if you need it logical, you come up with a logical decision. But you don't need to do that. You just speak your word and it is done. It is not up to you or to me to figure out how it's done, why it's done, where it's done, under what circumstances it's done. We just speak our word. Now, one of our people here has a child who is having trouble with his marriage. And instead of saying, as far as this person is concerned, my child is happily married and has the perfect wife, perfect family, everything in divine order, not look at one other point, you know, just the divine order of that family, because that person's the creator. Now, can you create? You do it all the time. You create things not going right, and you create things going right. So let's spend our time creating things going right. And man's greatest humanity to man is his interest in himself. And let's take an interest in ourselves. What sort of garbage do we want in our mind? Oh, who wants garbage in their mind? Well, you do, because you got a lot of it there. You want a recitation of one or two of them, you know? Not really, huh? But you got wars and hospitals, accidents, and all that stuff. And that's not real. That's not real. And on and on and on. But you have happiness, you have peace, you have harmony, you have right action, you have truth, you have wholeness.
Words.
Okay. And you have wealth. I mean, you got the whole thing. But all is in divine order. Now, that's nice, isn't it? That's nice. Well, let us put our concentration, our visualization, our experience on that which is valuable to us, instead of that which is, we call, negative to ourselves. And that means in everything. And unfortunately, we have here what we call a school. And this school is run by me, the dean, and I'm not a very nice guy. Because I teach you these things and then I expect you to practice them. And if you don't practice them, I get on your back. And I say, no, let's practice that. I'm not mean to you. You don't create me that way. You create me as a lover. But I do expect you to do it. And sometimes I have you do it in front of other people. Sometimes I stop you right where you are so that you do it. It doesn't mean I'm superior to you. It doesn't mean I'm better than you in any way, or that I have an edge on the information or the knowledge. It's just that I'm the traffic cop. I'm the one who makes sure that the laws are carried out. And if the laws are not carried out, then I come into show. Then I put up my hand and I show you my badge and I say, hey, you're violating the rule. You're violating the law. And then you say, oh, damn, there's that red light behind me and I'm going to get a ticket. But don't say that. Let the red light be behind you. And you stop and you pull over. And the cop comes up to you and he says, you have your taillight out. And that's not acceptable. I'm going to give you a warning on that to have that fixed. And if it's not fixed, then blah, blah, blah. No. And you thought you were speeding. And you weren't even speeding. You didn't even know what you were doing. You were just driving normally down the road. But you had a stoplight. And you see, we think the worst. So how can we create the best if we're going to think the worst for ourselves? And it's as simple as that. And I won't enlarge on that. I think that stands pretty much for itself. Now, put that in practice. Live that stuff. Because you're more brilliant than you're letting on. And I want you to let on how brilliant you are. Because you're fantastic. Man's greatest humanity to man is his interest in himself. Because when you see yourself fabulous, you will see the world fabulous. And that's all that matters. I love you, 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 I love you. I love you.